We're looking forward to the presentation by the boys and girls. But first, we're going to praise the Lord together, turning to number 88. We're going to come in the stillness of this hour with hearts prepared to worship the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Come and behold him. It's all about glorifying, worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ together. So let's stand for opening hymn number 88.
At the throne of grace and prayer. Our loving Father, we come before thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have gathered here for the purpose of worshiping thy name. And Lord, thou art a great God and worthy of our praise. When we think, Lord, of this universe that thou hast made, with its billions and billions of stars and planets and galaxies, and how, Lord, thou didst in thy word cover the whole thing with one sentence, he made the stars also. And then, Lord, thou didst make this little planet upon which we live, it is so tiny in this wonderful universe that thou hast made. And Lord, we are on that little planet, so small, so insignificant. And yet, Lord, today we come to marvel at the wonderful grace of God in the Lord Jesus, that he came down from the splendor and the glory and the majesty of heaven, down the ladder of condescension, down to this world to take upon him the form of man. And we thank thee, our Father, that on the cross he died to pay the price of our sins. And so tonight we rejoice that so many can lift up their eyes to heaven and know and be able to say, it is well with my soul. O God, as thy servant penned the words in earlier days, who like we thy praise should sing? And so tonight we pray that truly we may praise thy great and glorious name. We ask the Lord to bless the children. We thank thee for each one of them. Each one is a gift of the grace of God to their family. And we pray, our Father, that thou would bless them. And Lord, we know that they learn most of the things in early life by rote. But we ask thee, O God, that thou would also write these things upon their hearts, that when they grow old, they will not depart from the way that thou hast laid down in thy word. So bless them tonight and fill them with joy as they would minister both in song and in word. We ask you, our Father, for those who can't be with us, the several, Lord, who are laid aside in beds of sickness or because of age and infirmity can no longer come to the house of God. We ask you, O God, that where they are, that thou would bless them, that thou would encourage them, that thou would minister to them. And Father, we pray that thou would bless us all and bless thy servant as he ministers the word to the boys and girls. O God, give him liberty and give him a word they will not soon forget, but may remember and come to know the Lord as their Savior. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us and fill our hearts with the joy of the Lord that is the strength of the believer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're singing very well tonight, and we're going to sing a couple more Christmas carols together. Number 90, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing three verses of this, the first three verses, and I think we'll stand together and sing again. Let's all stand.
Sing, 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 sing
seat. Let's turn over to 109. 109, Silent Night, Holy Night. Pastor Saunders, just give the announcements. We welcome you tonight to our evening service. It's very, very good to see you all here tonight, and we know that we have many visitors, and those folks who have come because it's a special Sunday school Christmas program tonight, and so you're here to see your children, and we certainly welcome you very much in the Savior's name. We also have some international guests that have come not for the Sunday school Christmas program, but they have come because of a very important wedding that took place yesterday of Olafemi and Azarina. And so we welcome all them, some from the UK and some from Nigeria. And we have a whole row of these folks sitting back here, so you are very welcome. It's good to have you in the service tonight. And we just want to say how much we've appreciated your fellowship and your testimonies. And yesterday at the wedding, some were giving testimonies of just how long they've known the married couple and the impact that they have made upon their lives. And it was refreshing to hear those testimonies, and so our prayers go with you. Some have to leave on Tuesday, and some are going to be here for another week visiting around, and so we certainly welcome all them very much in the Savior's name. And we also want to welcome those viewing our service tonight over the internet. You are most welcome indeed in our service, and we hope you'll take a moment and send us an email so that we can have a record of your visit with us. We have a couple of folks visiting here locally, well, maybe more than one, but we have Saul and Amisa. I hope I said that right. Saul and Amisa, you are also very welcome here in our service. And look at all the boys and girls here. I'm very happy to see you tonight. And I'm glad you're here in our evening service. And we're looking forward to hearing you sing and recite the scripture and then also hear a message from God's Word. If you have your bulletin there, let me encourage you to turn there for a moment. I'll remind you of a couple of announcements that we have for this incoming week. This afternoon at 3:45 or 3:30, there was a prayer time, first of all, and then our outreach team went out, and several folks joined them this afternoon. There was a time of caroling and handing out gospel tracts. Thank you, everyone who went out. I understand it was quite cold today. I was not able to be out myself this afternoon, but thank you for going out and witnessing and sharing the Word of God. And as we were having good singing tonight, I found my own voice was getting a bit hoarse as we were trying to sing out with all our strength. And I'm sure some of you were also more so because you were singing in the freezing cold and so your vocal cords were a bit strained. Do pray, please, for the gospel that was given out by way of the tracts and the witness, the public witness, and the singing of the Christmas carols. These are important times because the community needs to know that there is a message of hope, especially in a time when things are very often very hopeless and people's lives are twisted and bent and torn with all kinds of problems. And yet to turn to Christ, they will find that there is forgiveness of sins, there is healing for the broken lives, and there is hope for eternity. And of course, that's the gospel message. That's what we proclaim. It is a good news of salvation. So again, a word of thanks. And to the Jew family, because they have been providing the lunch in the afternoon time for the folks who have been part of the outreach. Regarding the incoming week, we will be having our prayer meeting at 7:25 as normal. And then we're looking forward to this incoming week and the service on next Lord's Day as well. We don't want to get this one finished, but we're already looking forward to the next one. It's our last Lord's Day of this year. And so I want to bring you a challenging message, I trust, from God's Word in the morning. And then in the evening time, we'll be having some testimonies and times of praise and really reflecting and thanking God for what He has done for us over this past year. So if you have a thankful heart and God has done something for you, then please come along and join us. You'd be very welcome. Also, at the conclusion of the service next Sunday night, will be an international time of fellowship where our folks bring dishes that are, well, just part of their culture and their background. And it's always an extra special time of fellowship downstairs after the service. And so please come along. You know, our regular service, we have many visitors here tonight. And if you are not regularly attending another church, you're just visiting for tonight, then we want to also let you know you're very welcome to come to any and all of our services. We meet here every Lord's Day at 11 o'clock in the morning for our morning worship, and then we meet at the evening at 6:30 every Lord's Day for an evening time of worship and praise and of hearing the Word of God. So if you come along in the morning service but you don't come along at night, well, you're only getting half your dinner. And you need to come along and get the rest of your meal for the Lord's Day and be well filled with the Word of God and well filled with good fellowship from and with the Lord's people. So that's next Lord's Day. Then the following week, you see the advance announcement there. There will be no midweek meetings between Christmas and New Year's. Those are all the announcements that we have to make at this time. And we're going to turn the meeting back over to Reverend Sterrett.
So we're going to ask the Sunday School now and the Good News Bible Club to come and to present their program to us. So this is what you've been looking forward to. So we ask them to come. Thank you.
Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, God has spoken of his love for his people and his plan of salvation for them, because they had fallen into sin and were separated from him. In the Old Testament, there are approximately 350 prophecies of the coming of the promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would like to bring you some of these verses from the Old Testament and tell of Jesus' birth and how they were fulfilled in the New Testament.
Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law."
7 verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
Matthew chapter 1 verses 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted as "God with us."
Chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old, from everlasting."
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Now when Jesus is born in Jerusalem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him."
Thank you. Jeremiah 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
Matthew 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Then I loved him and called my sons out of Egypt.
Matthew 2:13-15. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I give thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod.
Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not.
John 1, verses 10 to 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not.
Moms, dads, and friends, the Lord Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at this Christmas season, came for one reason, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. But sadly, many people will not receive him as their Savior. This evening, we would like to invite you to pray and ask the Lord to come and live in your heart and forgive your sin, and you'll have the most wonderful Christmas ever.
Thank you.
Boys and girls, thank you very much for that presentation of the gospel and of all those verses that you read so well, and the singing. It was very, very good. Thank you, David Yap, as well. Playing was lovely in the violin, and also the people, the teachers, and everyone that have worked hard to put this together. It is very, very much appreciated. A blessing to our hearts indeed, and we're thankful for that. You know, as we come to the end of the year, it's important to be sure that all our accounts are good and right with the Lord. And there are so many ways that people can give. And oftentimes the giving that is done is your time, and the efforts that are invested behind the scenes that many times people don't know anything about and they don't really see. And we have an army of workers in our church, people that are doing just that continually, every day. Things not seen in public, but they are a blessing to us in so many, many ways. And so we really appreciate that. If you look over and you see that Dana is a little bit dreary-eyed today, you'll understand why. Dana was responsible for really hosting and providing for the meal for the whole wedding reception yesterday. And she'd been working very closely with Azarina and also with Femi. And we appreciate also Jonathan doing a lot of work behind the scenes. And so these folks have gone the extra mile and is greatly appreciated and shows hospitality to those who come and be a part of our congregation. And those are very, very important things. So, well, now we have some boys and girls that are going to come from the Sunshine Room, and they're going to present their part. And then after that, we will have an offering for the Lord's work. Thank you.
Very good, boys and girls. We enjoyed that very much, all those little shepherds and lambs and wise men and angels. It's great to hear you tonight. Let's take up our offering now. We'll sing number 94, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie. The offering is received for the Lord's work. Final verse together just before we come to the story. Well, boys and girls, and also the adults who are here tonight, I'm very thankful to have the privilege of bringing to you a children's message in the story that we want to think about tonight, the promised gift of God's Son. And boys and girls, I have so enjoyed your singing tonight, and now it's a time for you to be very quiet, and now you have to listen to me. So what I want you to do is to sit very quietly. Now, these folks over here won't have so much difficulty with that one, but maybe the little ones here a little bit more. But anyways, what I want you to do now is to be very quiet and to listen very carefully to the message that we have. First of all, though, we're going to bow in prayer, okay, and ask for the Lord to bless us tonight. Father, we give thanks, Lord, from our heart for this night and for the children, the boys and girls who have participated in the ministry of the Word tonight. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Take this next generation and raise them up to be mighty in your gracious hand. Lord, we pray that they will come to trust the Savior early in their lives, and their lives will be directed in the center of thy perfect will. So, Father, hear our prayers now tonight. Be with us, we pray,
And help me as I bring this message to the boys and girls that there would be something for everyone in the service here tonight. So bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Well, I think we're coming pretty close to a time, what we call Christmas, and most people enjoy to receive a gift when we come around the Christmas time. In fact, if you have a Christmas tree in your house, and maybe mom or dad puts a present underneath the tree and it's all wrapped up, it might look something like the gifts you see in front of you here. And you're wondering exactly what would be in that package that has my name on it. And you might go up and you might shake the box and hear if it rattles. And you might hope to guess what would be inside it. Was it the thing that you really wanted to have for Christmas? But boys and girls, when we think about the Christmas story, there is a gift that is far greater than anything that we have in our minds. Now, you might think, well, it would be lovely to have a gift of a pet for Christmas time. Maybe a little kitten, maybe a bunny rabbit, maybe a doggy. Maybe you would like something like that. And to you, it would be the greatest gift you could think of for Christmas time. Ah, but there is something that is far greater. There is a gift that is far beyond any gift that you could imagine. And it's the gift that God has given to us at this time. It is the gift of His only begotten Son. For God gave His Son to us that we might have life. Do you know that God spoke very clearly in His Word, and some of the older children have been reciting the promises or prophecies of the Old Testament that speak about Christ coming. And the prophet Isaiah was one of the most important Old Testament prophets. And the word that God gave to him was a word that spoke about the coming Messiah, the coming Savior of the world. And this prophecy was spoken through Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This prophecy is very, very important because it speaks about our Savior, the Lord, but it talks about the two ways that He would be brought to this world. Promises that a child would be born, and that is the child Jesus that would be born in the place of Bethlehem. But then the prophet also said that there would be a son that would be given. And God was referring here to His only begotten Son. In the service this morning, we were thinking about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us from John 1 verse 14. And boys and girls, this is the greatest gift that God could have given to us. There was also another prophet. He is Micah. And Micah told us exactly where the Lord Jesus would be born. And this was amazing because Isaiah was about 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born when he made his prophecy. And Micah also spoke many hundreds of years before, and he told exactly where Christ would be born, in Bethlehem. And do you know how important this was? Because when the wise men came seeking after Jesus was born, they came to Herod and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And Herod was very annoyed at this because he didn't want anyone else to take over his kingship. And so he called the Jewish leaders and said, "Where will Christ be born?" And they immediately told him, "Well, he'll be born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy of Micah, in Bethlehem of Judea." And this is exactly what God was bringing to pass. God was working, and He had been working from all time. And He'd been working throughout all the history of His people. And He had been planning for the greatest gift that could be given to mankind. Well, You might wonder, how did Mary and Joseph, how did they know to go to Bethlehem? Like, what was the purpose of them going to Bethlehem? And here is how God was arranging and organizing things, because He made it through Caesar Augustus, a Roman king, and He made it that he would raise a tax, and all the people had to be registered, or they had to be taxed. And in order to do that, they had to go back to the place of their birth. And that's why Joseph was going back to Bethlehem, and there was a sense of urgency. He had to go very quickly. And now his wife, Mary, who was very, very close to giving birth to her first son, the Lord Jesus would be born of Mary. And God had overshadowed Mary. And God's Spirit came upon Mary, and that is how she came to have the baby Jesus growing inside her. And she was ready to give birth to her child. And when they came to Bethlehem, well, of course, who else was in Bethlehem? Well, all the other people that had to go there to be registered and taxed. So Bethlehem was a very busy place at that time. And it was so bustling. And you know something? There was only one hotel in the town. Now, Bethlehem is not very big. It was a small place. And this one hotel, or we would call it an inn in the Bible, when they went up and knocked on the door and said, "Please, sir, I need a room. My wife is about to have a baby." And, well, you see, the way the inns were in those days, it's kind of different from the hotels that we have today. In our hotels, everybody has their own kind of room. But in those places, it was different. Everyone had a large room where they all kind of congregated together. And the bedrooms or the place to sleep were just kind of off to the side. And you might have a curtain pulled over. Well, that wasn't going to work out too well for Mary to have her baby. But there was no place, even if they wanted to. It was full. And so the innkeeper said, "Well, if you want, there's a place out the back where the cattle are. There's a place out the back in the stable. If you want to go and stay there, you're welcome to." But Joseph didn't have any choice, because the time for Mary to have her baby, it was right now. And so they went, and they were there. And Mary, she gave birth to her firstborn child. And oh, what a night that would have been for her, for Joseph. This was such an important time for them. But just at that very season, there was something going on with the shepherds that were very close by in the hills that were near Bethlehem. And those shepherds that were there, well, they had no idea that anything was going to happen tonight of such great importance. They had no idea. They were out there just doing their night's work. And what were they doing? Well, they were watching over their sheep to be sure that no wolves or no wild animals would come to steal them away. And they were watching very carefully. It doesn't say they were sleeping. We sang a hymn that says, "While the shepherds slept," but it doesn't tell us in the Bible they were sleeping. They were watching over their flocks by night. And when that happened, all of a sudden, there was a great light that shone down from heaven. And there was an angel that came to the shepherds. And the angel that came to them, and you could just imagine, if you could think of being in that situation, what would it be like if all of a sudden, out from heaven, there was a tremendous light that came down? You would be shocked. I think you'd be a bit afraid. And I'm sure that they were a bit afraid too. In fact, it tells us they were sore afraid. They were so afraid, they just about collapsed. And yet, as soon as the angel came to them, he told them, "Peace, be still." He told them, "Don't be afraid." And he began to tell them the great thing that he was going to do for them. It tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now immediately those shepherds heard that word, and they said, we must go now and see this great sight. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why would the angel have told them about the coming of this great messenger, this great king that was to be born, but why was he going to be born in a stable? Why was he going to be born in a manger? Now, a manger is, well, it's a place where the cows would eat their food from. It wasn't a very luxurious place. It would have generally been made out of stone, cut out of a stone that they would have put maybe straw in for the animals to eat. But it would not have been a very comfortable place. And in a stable where the cows are and the animals, has anyone ever been to a stable? I know I have. And a stable is not a very nice place, really. It's actually kind of a stinky place. It's not very nice. It's dirty. There are things all around there. And yet that's the place where the angel said the Lord Jesus would be born. And the shepherds, I'm sure that they were wondering and a bit confused, why is this happening? Why would not the Son of God be delivered to the palace of one of the Herods or the palace of Caesar? No, it wasn't God's way. Because Jesus Christ would be born and he would be brought into this world in great humility. He would be brought into this world not with riches and not with honor in that sense, but in a very humble and lowly place. And you know what else the angel said to them? You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Or we could say swaddling bands. And that's very interesting. Why would it say swaddling bands? What does that mean? Boys and girls, this is very important. Because the angel, I believe, was indicating to the shepherds and to the whole world that this king from heaven that was now born, the Savior of the world, he was going to be wrapped in bands of clothing that they usually wrap people who have died in. That's very significant for us. And the shepherds would have said, this is strange. Why should a young child be wrapped in clothing or bands that have to do with death and the type of things you would wrap a dead person in? Ah, was that a sign that this child was born in order that he would die for the world? Ah, now we're seeing the picture. You see, God was painting a very clear story, and he was presenting this gospel message and these shepherds that saw this tremendous sight from heaven. And then after the angel spoke to them, something else happened. The whole heaven seemed to open before them. And there was a multitude of angels of the heavenly host. And what were they doing? They were praising God. They were saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, there will be peace because the one who has been born is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. He is the one who will bring peace to the hearts of men and women, peace to the hearts of boys and girls. But how will he do that? How will the Lord Jesus bring peace to a troubled world? He will bring peace to the world because he was going to die upon a cross to take our sin away. My young friends tonight, have you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I wonder, have you invited him into your heart yet? Have you taken the greatest gift that God has given? If not, I wonder, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? After the shepherds heard this great message from heaven, they made haste and they came down and they found it even as the angel had said. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This would have been a most precious sight, a most amazing sight. And for these shepherds, who were simple, common, ordinary people, they were not special people. God just chose them as ordinary folks. And they were the first ones to bear witness of what God had done in giving this greatest of gifts. And they're looking down and they see the baby Jesus lying in the cow's eating dish. Maybe some straw put in there for a bit of comfort. And he's wrapped in these clothes that indicate these are death clothes. But why would they be wrapped around a young baby who was just born? And many things in their mind, I'm sure, are spinning around. But they are so excited because of the great word that God has said to them. And so, as they gather around the manger, they then have a job to do. Because the Lord tells us, it says, "And when they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." What did they do? Why, as soon as they saw Mary and the baby and Joseph there, and they had spent a little time, they said, "We have seen a great thing. We can't keep it to ourselves. What do we have to do? We must go and tell everyone." And so these shepherds, we don't know how many there were, but these shepherds began to go to their friends and family, the people in Bethlehem, and as far and wide, and whoever would listen, "We have seen a most amazing thing tonight. You will not believe this. But God has sent His Son. We have seen the Messiah. He is born. He is here in the world now. And God's gift has been given to mankind." And boys and girls, it would have been amazing to be there and to see what those shepherds saw. But do you know something? God has given to you also the same responsibility that He gave to those shepherds. Do you know how? Because if you know the Savior in your heart, if you've invited Christ Jesus into your life to save you, then we have a job to do. We have a job to go and tell other people about the great things that God has done for us, because the Lord Jesus has died for us on the cross, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and He wants you to go and tell others about what He's done for you. And that's exactly what these shepherds did. And it tells us that as they went and they told all these people, it says, "All they that heard it, they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They wondered, all right. They were amazed and surprised at what a great thing had been accomplished. The greatest gift that God could have given to this world, He gave when He gave His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And boys and girls, I can tell you on the authority of God's holy word that if you confess your sins to Him tonight, Jesus Christ will come into your life and He will save your soul. And your soul will be saved, not just for time, but my friend, for all eternity. And you know how important that message is that we have been given to share with others? It is the greatest message, the greatest gift. And I wonder, boys and girls, tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know Him? Do you love Him tonight? For God loves you. And He has brought to us at this time the privilege of being reminded again of God's great gift, His great mercy, His everlasting love. I trust, I hope that you will invite the Savior into your heart tonight. And all the adults that are here in our service this evening, this message is equally applicable to you. For it is a message of God's love to a broken and a sinful world. And you may be here tonight, and you might say, I'm one of those broken individuals. My life is filled with sin, and you've been convicted of your sin. My friend, you can come to Christ tonight and confess and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh God, come into my life. Take hold of me. Forgive me. Clean me, wash me in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and fix my life and put me on the right track. And some person might say, but oh, Pastor, if you only know how sinful I was, I think I've sinned away my day of grace and there's no hope for me. No, friend, if there is life in you tonight, there is hope for you. And there is hope in Christ Jesus, and you can know peace with God this very night. Don't leave the service before you call unto Him. Don't leave this meeting tonight before you are sure that it is well with your soul, that you are ready to meet Him. Because then this will be the most special, the most joyful, the most wonderful Christmas season of your entire life. Do you have peace with Him? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, this Christmas message is one that is old and yet ever new. And Lord, I'm thankful for the day that my own heart was saved from my sin. And for the day, Lord, you had mercy upon me. And I pray that that day will be so for many people here tonight. Dear Father, keep us from being too busy for the things of God. Keep us, I pray, from being too distracted in other things. Keep us from being too self-righteous, thinking we don't need salvation because we're good enough ourselves. Oh Lord, take those thoughts away. Bless this word to the boys and girls tonight. We're thankful for each one of them. We're thankful, Lord, for the gifts and talents represented by this gathering. Use them, we pray, and bless them abundantly. So, Lord, part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. Be with us, we pray, for our time of fellowship downstairs. We give thanks for the food that has been provided. Lord, just receive our thanks, we ask, in the Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. What we're going to do now is we're going to allow the boys and girls to be dismissed and to go with their teachers, and they can make their way downstairs, and there are tables set up for them, and so the teachers will direct you as to exactly where to go. And then when they leave, the adults are welcome to make their way downstairs as well if you would like. Thank you very much.